You want to be sure and tune in Ham Nation. We talk about indoor antennas that work. We talk about field day. We've all been out doing field day and getting ready to have a wonderful 4th of July. So join us right here on the TWiT Network.
Ham Nation is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/TWiT to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 460, July 1st, 2020. We talk about indoor antennas that really work. Hello, everybody. It's Bob Heil, and hey, we're all ready for the 4th of July. We don't want to miss it. So Gordon and I figured we better kick it off right, and he's all with me. We got a lot of good things tonight. We're gonna show you how you can put all of your antennas in the attic and work the world. It's really cool. Jim's with me, a good friend, and Gordo will be here, of course. Well dressed, Gordo. How you doing?
We are fine. Getting ready for the 4th of July, but you know, Bob. 1st of July is the brand new extra class. That's right. The extra class test is now going to be still 50 questions, but the studying for it is going to be cut down a little bit because they pulled about 100 really sort of dumb old questions out of the pool. They added some good ones on digital. So if you're planning on going for extra, make sure you got the new book that has a lot of old questions gone, and you'll enjoy the read. So Bob, back to you.
All right. We're going to come back to you in a little bit for some field day things. I do think you have some field day happenings. George is here. George, how are you doing? Everything okay?
Yeah, things are pretty good here, Bob. I couldn't find any patriotic clothes to wear tonight. This is the closest I had was blue. So I figure I would fly the flag here. And thanks for Victor there. That was live action on that. And Gordo, that's good timely information there. I mean, I was just going to ask you when the new extra book would be out. So I see that it's out now. So
it's out.
Good to know. Good to know. Well, we're going to revisit field day tonight. You know, this year I didn't make a lot of contacts. I made some. I had to work. But the ones I made from the shack. And there were a lot of people doing that. Most of the contacts I made were other people working from home. So not quite as much excitement as I'm used to on a field day. So I thought we would dig back in the archives and bring out some field day footage from 9 years ago and some interesting ways of that we did things then. Bob?
All sounds good, and I'm waiting to watch the field. That's going to be cool. Amanda is here. She has some very neat things to talk about with her field day actions, and Don and Tamitha will be here. So we got a full packed house, and first I can tell you I operated field day from right here. I just turned around on this stool and fired a couple of the rigs up and worked not very many. But as you probably know, if you've been keeping up on things, I don't have very good antennas here. That's one of my problems. I do have a 75-meter antenna working, but that's all going to change, and it's going to change pretty quick. I have a roof mount tower, and I have a couple of other things that to go on that. I got an antenna Force 12 little SS job, like the one that I had down in Springfield. Not the same one, but just like it that a friend of mine came around and gave me. But anyway, we'll get all that up this week, and I might be able to get something happening. But it's been kind of crazy around here anyway. And so we'll wait and see what happens with all the antennas this week. I might have good news next week and maybe some video. Yeah. But I want to get into some things with my good friend Jim. Jim has been a friend for a long time over in the Kansas City area, and he's going to give us some good insight as to how to put antennas in the attic and work the world. Jim, how are you doing? It's nice to see you.
Well, good evening, Bob, to everybody on the Ham Nation there. Thank you for having me on.
Well, we want to talk about what you did in your attic, if you want to.
I will. All right. I moved into an HOA, so I, you know, it's one of those things you can't have an antenna outside. So I decided I was going to take advantage of my attic space. And so I ended up putting antennas in my attic as a dipole, half-wave dipole. And I was lucky enough that from my garage, I could go all the way across my garage ceiling in my garage into the ceiling above my house, so my attic space. And so I ended up putting in a multi-band fan dipole. And it's got some interesting, the way I hooked it up was a little bit unique, I think.
Well, we're going to take some views of all of that. First, let's take a look at the station that you have all these great antennas coupled to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my big military desk, and my station's kind of sitting on a piece of plywood, and that worked out pretty good. It raised it up enough that I could slide my electronic gear and my paddles and other things underneath there. And it's a Tentec Orion 2, and it's a wonderful machine. And boy, it does a great job. And of course, I've got the ICOM 706. Doesn't everybody have a 706? I think they do, seems like. And a couple of mobile ICOM 207, so.
One thing I want to tell everybody is what's that little silver box sitting on top of your Orion?
Well, that little silver box is the sound mixer that you developed on Ham Nation, oh gosh, several episodes ago. And so I ended up building it. And it works really good. So I am really happy with it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I went to a club meeting. I did a presentation in Kansas City a few years back, and Jim was there, and he was very proud. He brought that, showed it to me. That's cool. So that's great stuff. Well, let's get into some of the things in the attic and go ahead and tell us what's happening up above your head.
Okay, this is my attic space above my garage, and it has a floor in it. And so I also put up a vertical antenna. You can see the radials coming off from that. But let me draw your attention to the upper right-hand corner. You'll see some wires coming out of my house attic space. That's part of my fan dipole. And just on the other side of that floored area is a cutting board with a balun, and that's the center point. The other half of my dipole actually extends into my attic over my house. And so this is my cutting board, balun, and RF choke kind of hanging down there from the below the balun part. And that's I built the cutting board Bellin, such that I could remove each fan dipole, by itself. So if I needed to change it out or if I needed to do something a little different with it, I could do it. And on the back side, which is the next slide, there you go, all those screws are shorted together. So I've got the same setup on each side for the center conductor of the coax and from the shield side. So they're all shorted together. So yeah, and that was a little tricky walking across all the trusses to get to the other side of that attic. So if anybody's planning to do that, I highly recommend you put a board down or a plywood sheet down so you're not walking just on the trusses. So that's an accident waiting to happen. there's a drawing of my the plans, basically, of my fan dipole. The top one was 80, which I really didn't use because it was way too long for my attic. I couldn't fit it in my attic real well. So I basically dropped the 80 meter. But 40 meter was just about attic wall to house wall, if you will. So that's probably the longest one I could actually fit in my attic. But this is how I build it. I just build it on a cutting board that's about the size of a sheet of paper. And I put the aluminum strips down the backside and fed screws with a wing nut. And that works really good. I managed to talk to Arizona and the East Coast and Texas, of course, and Florida. So I made a lot of contacts.
What a great idea. And while we're on this slide, I want to respect my friend Gene, W4IQN. He did that drawing. I sent him some all these slides, and he, as I was, very impressed with what you did. So Gene, he did all the drawings for our pine board project, and he does a lot of things for me. And he said, I think I can help you. And so Gene comes up with these great drawings, and it really, really puts it together for us all. It did for me too, and I got to play with this. So,
well, thank you. Thank him. That drawing was great.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to set up some kind of schedule when I get all these things up and have to work you over. Are you in Lawrence, Kansas?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm on the kind of the southwest corner of Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have several of our AM buddies in the morning on 3885 live around in there. Well, Jim, yep. Thanks for coming on and telling us about that antenna. I thought it was really super. And you got other things up your sleeve, so we might have you come back and tell us about some of that also. So I really appreciate it. You be safe and have fun and work lots of people with that wonderful antenna system. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
How cool. Gordo, you got your stepladder ready to go in your attic? What's going to happen?
Well, Jim had some great ideas, especially not stepping in between the trusses and putting a foot through. Whoops. You know how that goes. I think we've all done that just once. Well, let's take a look and see what field day is when it comes to a dipole, the lowly dipole versus a beam. And we had it really cut out for us here on the West Coast because, once again, those of you on the East Coast and the Southeast and the Midwest, you hogged all of the 6-meter band openings. But for Southern California, we had a lot more going on 10, 15, 20, 40, 75. A lot of activity. So I thought, well, You know, I was going to operate one Delta home, and I thought, no, let's do one Echo where we're working with maybe a home antenna, a fixed antenna, but on portable batteries. So we had the BioInno battery deep inside the case here and the ICOM 706. Yes, Jim, everybody has an ICOM 706. That's my Coast Guard auxiliary radio below that to meet NTIA specifications. Well, I had a switch that I wanted to switch, and it worked, between that four-element beam, that's the lower one, the six-meter, because the band wasn't really open for us here on the West Coast. We'll do it off the four-element beam versus the dipole, a lowly dipole. Well, we know that the beam concentrates its energy in one general direction. And with that particular antenna on about a 16-foot boom, it's not a real tight pattern, but the beam takes its energy and concentrates it, which means the beam is going to be probably anywhere from 3 to 6 dB stronger than just the dipole. The dipole antenna is very effective when cut to length. For 10 meters, it needs to be 8 feet. For 15 meters, needs to be 11 feet. 20 meters wants to be 16 feet, again, per side. 40 meters, 32 feet per side. And for 75 meters, about 64 feet per side. So I thought, you know, we should try and make some contacts during field days, first off the beam and then try the dipole and see if they could still hear us. So what I did was I would make a contact, and without saying anything, I would give him my report, one Echo Orange. Yeah, Roger, one Echo Orange. So that tells me that they can hear me. What the dipole, as we see here out at Quartz Fest, what the dipole during a contest or like field day won't do is necessarily bust a pileup when you have 20 stations all calling another station on the East Coast or the East calling stations on the West. No, the dipole is going to be right in there with a din of other signals. So we'd use the beam to be able to get through to a station and then try out the dipole without telling the other station. So that we did. Now, you know, you could go ahead and buy a $60 or $70 all put together dipole for a single band. And being a frugal ham as we are, I thought, no, you know, I've got all the makings for a dipole. I've got some coax cable where I needed to rob a PL off the end of it for something else. But a PL ultimately on the end here. So I stripped back the braid and left the center conductor well surrounded by the outside polyfoam. And when I cut away to the braid, I take the outside jacket, not the shield, the jacket, and actually put it over the shield to provide a little bit of weatherproofing for a couple of days that it's going to be up in the air. Now, the dipole is a balanced antenna, quarter wave in one direction, a quarter wave in the other direction, and it's cut to frequency. Well, I wanted to operate on about the 20-meter band, so each side is going to be about 16 and a half feet. So there's my cheapo center conductor insulator, and, well, now I needed wire. No problem. You know, the wife will never miss her mixmaster. Oh, I won't tell her that. Anyway, plain old zip cord. But before you start whacking into the zip cord, just make sure that the other end is still not plugged into 110. So for 20 meters, I measured out about 16 feet on each side. And I soldered 16 feet on the braid side and 16 feet on the hot side. And actually, the whole dipole by configuration is an active antenna on both ends. You see the black gooey stuff, that was just to prevent any early morning fog, which we have here in California along the seacoast, from getting in there and wicking up some of the signals. So I didn't want that to happen. So we got everything there. And of course, I dressed it real well and made sure that when I haul it up, it's not going to touch anything. And these are the ferrite chokes I was going to use, because a dipole, no matter how well you build it, will always try and send some of that energy back down the braid of the coax. But being a good frugal ham, no, I can do my own ballon. So we take a piece of duct tape, turn it upside down so the sticky side is out. We take the coax, which is RG8X, do about 10 turns of that around this, then slide it off. And as you slide it off, you get it squared away with the duct tape and seal both sides. And bingo, there's my choke to keep any energy that may want to try and scramble down the outside of the braid from coming back down to the rig. And so here was my operating thing. And you see, I have a lot of extra coax, but on 20 meters, RG8X is pretty effective. Yeah, I could have maybe made one more dB by cutting all that extra stuff off, but I thought, well, let's just give it a try. So there we go. 16 and a half feet on the left side, 16 and a half feet on the right side, my feed line coming down. So I get it hoisted up. And again, 16 feet left, 16 feet right. That'll resonate on the 20 meter band. And we tested it, and I was just going, test, one, two, three. And somebody comes back to me on 20, and they said, well, can I go to 10 meters? Because the band evidently was wide open to the Midwest from SoCal. So I had to pull the dipole back down, shorten it down for the 10-meter band. And then I put it back up, and I wanted it resonant about 28,400, which for you technician class operators, there were a bunch of you during field day, and we worked many of you on 10 meters where your voice privileges are. Well, I got everything tuned up a little high at 28.6. I wanted to be about 28.4. So what I do is to make an antenna longer. How are you going to stretch wire? Oh, no problem. I just undo a few of these wraps and let that thing just dangle down. And for every inch, it's about 200 kilohertz. And so I did enough unwraps. And as you can see, we finally got it resonant, put it on the MFJ SWR analyzer. Bingo, 1-to-1, 0 SWR, close to a 50-ohm impedance match. Rig was happy. I was happy. Everybody was happy. And on 10 meters, I'm working all the way into Florida, all of Texas, and you name it during the field day contest. But what I would do is I would grab one of the stations calling CQ that had a huge pileup. I'd first switch over to the beam, work them on the beam, and then I would give them my report as one echo orange. I would do that on the dipole. And only one other station said, well, I was hearing your fair, and then you sort of dropped out on your report. All the other stations said, I got it, one echo orange. So it tells me that a dipole is an effective antenna, not for busting a pile up, but for making things happen. Well, in my communications, I met up with Whiskey Zero, Romeo Lima Mike, and he signed W0RLM, and I thought, oh, boy, there's a zero. Well, it's an 18-wheeler, and that's Richard, and Richard says, Richard McCracken, he says, well, I'm in the area. I'm doing a delivery in Costa Mesa. I know it's around field day time. Can I come by and have you take a look at my mobile antenna that I'm using for field day? He has his own rig. He's the owner-operator, independent driver association, life member, real nice guy. And so he pulls up to the house, and, of course, all my neighbors going, what the heck is going on? You moving out, Gordo? And I said, no, I'm not moving out. Getting my friend Richard squared away to see what it's going. Then my buddy Jim across the street, he says, wow, what's all that? Well, his high-frequency antenna was a small type of a bug catcher where the elements slide in and out to make the proper resonance on the different bands. And it was supported off the aft end of his 18-wheeler vehicle, fairly close to the metal of the big long trailer he was hauling. And I thought, how's this thing going to work? Well, let me tell you, I was impressed. First of all, the motorized antenna is not picking up too much noise from the engine compartment. And the stainless steel whip is extending just above the top of the vehicle, which is not bad. I would have liked to have seen that whole thing raised up. But he says, no, you can't do that. You'd be bumping into every bridge and getting every highway patrol to sign a citation for having it too high. So, wow, this is neat. But he could, if he wanted to, loosen up those. It looks like they have a little bit of rust on them. But loosen up those nuts and bolts and slide the whole thing up if he has enough wire when he gets stationary. And he really needs to put that signal out on 75. But in working, we found that he had a great signal. SWR was more than adequate once he had fine resonance. And this whole antenna setup, he's got one on the right side, one on the left side. The left side that we see here is for HF. The right side was for 2 meters 440. And look at this stainless steel mount. Isn't that neat? No, excuse me. I think that may be an aluminum mount, but I thought the installation was really, really good. The installation revolves around an antenna that terminates to a 3H24 thread, which will go into the top of that 3H24 receiver, and that has a stud on the bottom that goes through to meet up with the SO239. That's the 50 ohm female antenna connector for when he's going to plug in the coax. Now, most important, if ever you're working with those antennas, don't lose this. This is a little nylon washer that keeps the whole thing from shorting out. Well, let me tell you, I've had one of those installations myself, and it really works well. Well, almost. Now, notice the brass 3H24 thread on the other side of the SO239. That is pressed into the socket. It is pressed in. It's not, there's no metal because that's hot, the brass part. The other part is the ground side. It's pressed in and held by a little insulation that goes into the SO239's center receptacle. What occurs with a huge antenna, and I had this happen, is it rips that thread right out of the mount, and you wonder where the band went. No, it's where your antenna just went. So if you have a big monster high-Q antenna or a bug catcher that terminates to a 3H24, use the double 3H24 receiver to this 3H24, this one could dislodge. So be very, very careful that you don't actually lose a nice antenna. Well, Richard's installation aboard his 18-wheeler main vehicle was really deluxe. He's got his HF radio, his VHF radio, digital radio. There's an ICOM that you see just behind the steering wheel about the 9 o'clock position. That's his computer that works with his dispatcher. And this was a classic installation that Richard W0RLM put together himself. Very, very nice. And of course, you got to have a local CB radio just to stay in touch with what's happening locally, because, you know, local stuff is very important. So, Richard, thanks for coming by the house. The neighbors got a kick when they saw that huge trailer rolling down the street, but it was good. Now, I think there's one more that you may have on that, Victor, and I may have dropped that slow. Oh, yeah, there it is. The reason that local information is important is we're all getting ready for this weekend. All of us. You can come back now, Victor. I had my eyes set on heading to the beach. No more. All of Southern California beaches have been closed off. Fourth of July is really going to be different. Everybody in Southern California, no matter where they go, has got to wear their face shield. So I encourage all of you, just go with a program and put a face shield on. Forget about going to the beach, as I'm going to be doing, and just enjoy life at home, because we got to beat this pandemic. And the only way we can do it is just to watch out and everybody get away from me. But the neat part about ham radio on field day was we were one fraternity. We could get in there nice and close and have no worry except for good vibes and talking to other hams around the country and a couple of contacts around the world. So field day was different, switching between the dipole and the beam. The beam won, but the dipole held its own on all but one contact. So pretty neat. All you can do with a dipole, and the one I put together was about $2. And that was because I had to buy a new roll of solder in that I ran out. So it was probably less than that. So dipoles reign. Yes, sirree. Well, let's now talk about what goes on to the end of these dipoles. And that could be a very nice ICOM transceiver. Let's see what ICOM has brewing this week.
Get out and be active with ICOM's new IC705 and its optional multifunction backpack. The IC705 is your perfect QRP companion, as you have base station features and functionality at the tips of your fingers and a portable package covering HF 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. This compact rig weighs in at 1 kilo or just over 2 pounds, with RF direct sampling for most of the HF band and IF sampling for frequencies above 25 megahertz. 5-watt battery operation with BP272 or 10 watts with a 13.8-volt DC supply. Modes include single sideband, CW, AM, FM, as well as full D-Star functions, a large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, and live band scope with waterfall, integrated GPS with antenna and GPS logger, micro SD card for data storage. It comes standard with the HM243 speaker microphone, and it supports QRP and QRPP operations. The perfect accessory for the IC705 is the LC192 optional backpack, with a special compartment for your IC705 and room for accessories for soda activations or just a day in the park. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information about this and all the great ICOM radios.
And Ray was supposed to have come over with that IC705. He had it here a few months back, a prototype, and he was supposed to bring one over during field day, and we were going to set up in a park down here and do a little field day with it. Well, that didn't pan out due for a couple of different reasons on that end and this end both. We just weren't able to get together and do it this year. He did shoot some stuff on that, though. I think I saw a little short video on Facebook that he had posted where he had been playing with that, along with some antennas and coax he found in the trunk of his car. Ray has an amazingly large trunk. You would be surprised at all the stuff that he finds in there and founds in his garage. I don't know. It seems mighty convenient to me, but we'll have to see about that. And hopefully he can get over here and we'll take another look at that radio soon. I come invite you to enter after each episode of Ham Nation to register and win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats at icomamerica.com/hamnation. You'll also be registered for the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. You can get all the details at that website. Visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And we have a winner for June. ICOM was giving away the IC2730A VHF UHF dual band mobile. The winner is Richard Mathis, KM4SN. Congratulations, Richard. You're really going to like that radio. It's a great analog dual band mobile with simultaneous receive, or as we like to call it, dual watch, a large high contrast display, rugged mill standard 810. Optional Bluetooth board, a lot of features there. But fear not, we've got another radio to give away in July. This is the ICOM ID4100A. I've got one right over here in the shack. It's an entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features. It's got VHF, UHF, dual band, one band at a time, a new user-friendly interface, built-in GPS, DV fast data mode, terminal mode, access point mode, micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, and there's downloadable Android and iOS apps available. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode and register to win. One other thing ICOM wanted me to mention, they want you to register now for QSO Today's groundbreaking virtual Ham Expo. The expo will be filled with virtual exhibits and guest speakers, all from the convenience of your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Visit QSOtodayhamexpo.com to register. And let's get on into a couple of things here I wanted to mention tonight. First up, you know, this is a special day. July the 1st is Canada Day. So I want to say happy Canada Day to all our Canadian viewers out there and our friends. And it's also an anniversary. Can you guess what happened on July 1st, 1979? A new product was introduced. No, it's not ham radio, but I think you'll all remember these. It was the Sony Walkman, introduced July 1st, 1979 in Japan. Came a little later to the U.S. This is one of the early versions here. I think this was probably their most popular version, the cassette Walkman. A lot of nostalgia there. I remember when those things came out. Well, on into the videos for tonight. We have three here. We've got a couple that Dale had sent in. He was having some computer issues and couldn't join us live tonight, but he did send these videos on. The first one we've got is from our friend Dan Van Evenhoven in 9LVS. You know, Dan does the show notes on the wiki here for Ham Nation. You can go there after the shows and check it out and see what we talked about in each episode. Dan was with the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club again this year, and he brought us just a little taste of what went on there.
This is the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club Field Day 2020. Again this year, we were at the Valley Aerial Modelers Club Field, which is just a little bit out of town. Nice thing about being out here is it definitely limits the noise floor, and a very nice facility. For the past few years, we've been at the same location. Our kicker this year was the temperature. According to the Appleton International Airport, the high temperature for the day was 85 degrees. We recorded a temperature slightly above that. The bad thing with Wisconsin is that also comes with a 90% humidity. But we endured anyways. Larry, WA9TT, monitored the VHF and UHF station, and he's got a nice go kit for that. He's also running on solar, which is pretty cool in itself. Out of the van, we ran our HF station for voice, and to have the antennas some 50 feet in the air helped a lot. For our CW station, we ran what I call a ladder dipole. It's basically a fiberglass extension ladder with a pole on the top with the antennas coming from it. CW, we did a fair amount of contacts, not as many as we've done in the past, but I think with everybody working at home, a lot of people were running digital. And Gary, KB9AIT, he was running the satellites and actually did pretty good. It was kind of fun watching that computer control those antennas. He was using an SDR for receive and then a radio for transmit. Due to the pandemic, the number of people on site was very limited. Most of the contacts we did were on generator. The only saving grace of the heat was the shade that the RV gave off, and the fans on the pop-ups were running full blast. From the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club Field Day 2020, this is Dan, N9LVS, 73.
And looks like a great time was had there by all, Dan. Thanks for sending that along. We've also got another video. This comes from Tom Crowley of the Austin Area Amateur Radio Club and their field day.
Okay, inside the camper, we have set up the ASU FT-991A. This is about our third year using this.
Yes.
Then we got the old Radio Shack scanner for public service. Minnesota is on the new digital trunking, P25, that is called, and they're on phase one channel, so that is an old scanner. It still works good for that. Over here, we have a Johnson Challenger for the UHF repeaters in the area. Computer up here they'll be using to log, getting it hooked up to the local Wi-Fi so we'll be able to get our logging. And over here we have a satellite dish and some other entertainment system. Then down here in the front we have a CB radio up front, and above the driver and passenger front we have a Kenwood D700 we use for going down the road for checking out the local repeaters, the UHF and VHF, also APRS. What's nice about this rig is when we get to a location, we can set it up as a mobile repeater, do a crossband repeat. We'll have everybody run their handhelds on a UHF channel and have it just put out on the local VHF repeater. Okay, we're about an hour and a half into field day, and getting pretty warm outside, about 90 degrees. It's almost 70, 80 degrees in the camper right now. The air conditioner's running high. How are the bands, TLJ?
Not too bad. We have a little antenna, so some of the big ones just boom right over you. So, but we're not doing too bad. I think we got about, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 contacts. So
a lot of traffic?
A lot of traffic, yes. A lot of people are interfering with each other, so that makes it kind of hard. So.
Well, that's about normal for field at the first couple hours. So.
Yep, and then it mellows out after that. So.
Field day can be very tiring if you're a dog, all the hard work that you have to do.
Okay, we had to take a little break here. Well, she had to take a little break.
It was break time.
Pan around here. As you can see, we got a little campfire going.
Woohoo!
And our little campfire here going away. And the sky is absolutely cleared off. Half a moon. It's going to be a gorgeous night here. Hopefully, propagation will keep up. It's been around here. Speaking of propagation... How are we doing?
I think we've done pretty good. The only thing, I've gotten a few stations that are just booming in, but I'm just a little fish in the sea, so yeah. They don't hear me, I don't think, so I get walked on.
The Addis 120A on top of the camper, full metal roof, it's pretty good for going out there and getting those contacts, but we can't compete with the big competition stations.
7,500-foot towers.
Yeah, the guy's running maximum wattage, so... we're going to take a little break here, enjoy the fire in the evening, then get back at it.
Hopefully we'll make a lot more contacts.
Other Austin Club members, KB0SVG Mary and KB0SBM John, WA0RLY Carl, are all working from their home stations. Club President KC0NPG Vince is working from his emergency operation table.
Okay, we got to break camp a little early. We got some errands to run, stop and see people. We're not going to make till the 4 o'clock at the end of field day. So, how'd you do?
Oh, we did very well. Tom helped, and we got a lot of contacts, a lot of states.
I run the radio and she talks, you know.
Well.
So at least you didn't have me gagged this time. The Addis 120 worked real good on the metal roof on the camper. It, especially over here on, we're at Ellendale, we're on the top of what they call the Buffalo Ridge. It's a natural... Originally, it starts in the Dakotas and runs just south of Mankato, cuts across here, and almost to Rochester, does a dog leg down into southeast Minnesota, northeast Iowa, Bluff Country area. She can really pull in the contacts. She woke me up this morning talking to somebody about Louisiana.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kept hearing CQ, and it's kind of like, okay, what time is it, you know?
Yeah, it was 7 a.m. I even slept last night. I'm surprised.
Yeah, usually she gets up and do contacts.
Middle of the night, yeah.
But on that... Thanks for watching. 7-3, everybody.
7-3.
And it looks like a fun time was had by all there once again. And one final field day video for tonight. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I operated field day here from the shack. I didn't make that many contacts because I ended up having to work part of the weekend. But I made some, and 10 meters was open here too, Gordo. It was a pretty good band. Then I moved on to 20 meters and 40 meters, and all I've got up right now are dipole antennas. And, yeah, it was a little difficult, you know. I couldn't quite make it to bust those pileups. And I was trying to go, you know, with 150 watts or less so I could multiply my score there by two. But I just wasn't having much luck. So I decided to kick in the amplifier and just take the hit there on the multiplier just so I could make a few contacts. And, yeah, you know, the extra, 850 watts or so, something around that. The extra power, that helped me make a few contacts. I couldn't use a multiplier, but I knew I wasn't going to score very high anyway, and at least I got to make a few QSOs. But that wasn't nearly that interesting. You know, I like to go off the grid for field day, and we've done that a number of times, Tommy and I and a lot of friends. This is a video from 9 years ago, 2011. The first time we went out in the woods to do field day. This was back before the invention of the air-conditioned tent, and it was miserably hot. But anyway, we had a good time nevertheless.
We wanted to invite you to our field day extravaganza.
Yep. Believe it or not, we're going to the woods.
And I mean in the woods.
Deep in
seriously.
The woods. Yeah.
Serious woods.
The wilds of Mississippi. Yep.
Off the grid.
Yeah, we're not in a parking lot in a shopping center somewhere.
Sleeping on concrete pads under a pavilion.
But at least it's cool out here.
Yeah, given the temperature outside the woods in that pasture right adjacent to here, it's really cool.
Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do, so let's get to it, guys.
All right. Let's do it.
We're out in the country at Trock, Mississippi, which is near the Tella and Madison County lines. We're in a hay field and kind of on the side of a gully here in some shade because it's hot today. It's in the mid to upper 90s. You can see Jim up there stretching out the power cables for the generator. You can see another truck behind him, that's Tim, KE5GLU.
KE4.
KE4GLU. And over here is a fella that just come up out of the woods. This is the infamous Bill, N5YCK.
Tried to put the pole up.
Yeah, and Bill is installing a vertical antenna. We're in a hayfield, so we've cut some paths to get down in here, and we've cut us a little opening down in here to find us a nice shady spot. Let's walk on down and take a look at that. We're going to be setting up in this area right here. Tommy's bringing a little canopy. We believe it's about 8x12. And we hope we've got enough room cut out here. This is our sanitation facility down there. And let's look back out at the field. So this is where we're going to be setting up our field day stations. We're going to hang some dipoles up here in these trees, string our coax out. Bill's putting up the vertical over there for the upper bands. And we've got some setting up to do yet. It's almost 12 noon. We don't know if we'll have a station on by 1 o'clock, but we might have one of them ready to go. Bill and Tim have about got the vertical up now. And the tent crew is hard at work now. Tommy finally showed up with the canopy. So the tents, or the canopy is up now. Jim's got the potato shooter here.
And
his special fuel?
Special fuel is Aquanet. Use this for all your potato gun needs. Or today it's actually an apple gun because an apple core has a little more weight to it and it seals just as good. So
I wondered who was going to be first.
We're waiting on somebody now to hold the spinning reel.
I want to pay your attention.
Yeah, come here, Tim or Tommy, either one. Grab that spinning reel.
Which one you want, the small one or the big one?
Big one.
And point it straight the way I point this.
You ain't gonna do me like I did my son and hit me in the eye with the fishing weight, are you?
I hope not.
Okay, the rocket's been fueled. There's his igniter right there.
Yeah.
Middle. Watch out, Bill. You don't want applesauce all over
about
you.
About that middle pine or the far one?
The middle one or the first one, either one. Whichever one you can hit.
Did you push the button?
All right. Here we go. On the count of three. Yeah, make sure the button's pushed. This one. Two. Three. Oh, man. That happens sometimes. All right, shot number two coming up.
Okay, go get the string over there.
I will.
12:25. All right, we got 35 minutes to finish, y'all.
All right, push the button.
Let go for a second, Tim. We got to go underneath this wire here.
Ready.
I will, so I untie
shot
it.
In three.
All right, it's on fire.
Two. One. Much more success.
Did you
time
see how far I cast that apple with this fishing pole?
I see that apple pole in the sky. This will do it.
You on ready?
Ready. That's a good clean shot there.
You took all the line, man.
That's a, I just hung.
You run
it.
That's
all right. It made it over the top. It'll come down through the rim.
Oh.
Start a flood. This is it. This is a moment of truth. If this don't work, we might as well go home. Uh-oh.
Bless Nicole Tussin. Thank you, Mr. Westinghouse, for your fine transformer.
Where are you going?
Excuse me.
Where are you going?
Go get my computer, my upper good.
And then you're going to come back and work what?
20 meters.
20, 15, and 10?
Everyone of them I can get on.
All right.
I'll work all of them.
Looks like you got the rig set up. Looks good.
This must have set up.
Well, we just made our first field day contact. The time, what time is it? 1:40 approximately.
Yeah.
So we were a little late getting on, and we still have another antenna or two to raise. First contact was KI-4, Foxtrot Delta Uniform. They were operating 5A, which means five transmitters on emergency power. And the designator was in Alabama. So just in the next state here, and this was on 80 meters. On 3965. And for logging here, we're using the Squirrel program. Basically, all our stations today will be operating under my call sign, W5JDX, so we can submit the log as a group. We're on the 80-meter band, single side band, first contact, the date and time and universal time coordinated. His call sign, his class, and his section. So we're ready for the next contact, and we're going to get on 20 meters here shortly, and I hope we get on 40 pretty quick, too.
Hello, this is Ronnie and Firefoot.
So is that AM or single side band?
That's side band there.
Okay.
Sounds like two guys racked you. Doesn't sound like Phil Day. Usually the guys are trying to make the contact real quick and get on to the next one.
And that was a lot of fun. First year we did that, and we've gone out there in the woods several times since then. I don't remember how many now, but most years when the weather allows it, had a good time last year. Had a little better sight, too. But this year, you know, with everything that's going on, it just didn't make sense to go out and pitch a tent and three or more of us get in there and operate field day. And besides that, I think Wayne, who you didn't see in the video here, our buddy Wayne was hiking in New Mexico. So I think maybe he made some contacts out there on the mountains. I don't know if you can hear that rain or not, but it is really coming down here now. Well, I just wanted to say hope everyone had a great field day this year. I made a few contacts, maybe about 16 or so. So all was not lost. I got to play radio a little bit. Thursday night, that is tomorrow night. It's an unusual night for us for Ham College. Tommy and I will be doing the next episode, live.amateurlogic.tv, 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time, 0100 UTC. If you're looking for something to do tomorrow night, and yes, our sound check nets, we had one last night. We've done 11 of these now, and boy, they just keep getting better. Thanks to our friends who supply some of the link-ups and connections there. We've got at least three analog repeaters, three EchoLink nodes. We've got D-Star, two All-Star nodes, two DMR talk groups, System Fusion, WiresX, NXDN, P25, and Hamshack Hotline. So that, I think, is probably the most connected net around as far as different methods you can get in. And we mix it up. We like to see, you know, how many contacts we can make. I think I worked three modes last night. I worked EchoLink, D-Star, DMR. I have worked Hamshack Hotline there before, but I didn't do that one last night. But always a lot of fun. And thanks to Brad Kellison, and I don't remember his call sign right off. He's one of those Ohio hams. You know, those guys up there are, they're all top-notch. So he was our net control last night. We kind of mix up the net controls. In that photo, though, that was the Elwood and Jake combo there of Emil the Cheap Old Man and our friend Mike, VE3MIC. They occasionally run the net, and boy, what a fun time last week when those two hosted it. Well, now it's time to find out on a more serious note, or maybe not. But it's time for Don Wilbanks and find out what's going on in the news. Hi, Don.
Yeah, boy, cowboy. The only mode you're not working on that net, I think, is a rusty green bean can and some string. That's really all you need.
I'm working on it.
I could help hook you up, son. You don't worry about nothing. Hey, let's get into the news of the week with Amateur Radio Newsline, and then we'll see what the sun's doing with Dr. T. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2226, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, July 1st, 2020. The Eyeball CUSO is making a comeback down under as face-to-face license exams are returning.
The Australian Maritime College, which administers the exams for the Australian Communications and Media Authority, has announced that assessors will be able to proceed with the exams provided there is a COVID-safe plan and compliance is assured. The AMC's amateur radio office must approve all exam sessions in advance and will not accept papers if it believes they were exposed to unsafe conditions. Exams have been given via remote assessments, which required oversight by approved Level 3 AMC sea assessors. Clubs, meanwhile, are also restoring to some normality. In New South Wales, the Central Coast Amateur Radio Club is preparing to reopen its club rooms on the 4th of July, when it plans to hold its first face-to-face general business meeting since the start of the pandemic. There are maximum occupancy limitations, however. The meeting will also be available online for members who prefer to attend via a teleconference platform. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
There's a sad silence inside a special radio museum in Ireland whose curator has passed.
Pat Herbert, curator of Ye Olde Hurdy-Gurdy Museum of Vintage Radio in Howth in Ireland, has become a silent key. Pat established the museum in 2003 inside the refurbished Martello Tower as a home for his vast collection of radio equipment, which he began assembling during the 1950s. The museum is described by Tony Bronock, EI5EM, of the Howth Martello Radio Group as, quote, a magical, quirky and welcoming Aladdin's cave, unquote. The museum is considered a welcoming facility, and perhaps no one has felt more welcome than amateur radio station EI0MAR, which began operating on the premises thanks to Pat. His story and that of the museum was the subject of a 10-minute award-winning film in 2014, Hurdy Gurdy Man. Pat, who was perhaps the most enthusiastic volunteer at the museum, died on the 18th of June. He was 83. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Summer's arrived in many parts of the world, but before you curse the humidity that often accompanies the season, think of what that water vapor might be able to do for your operating power with your radio.
What happens when water molecules interact with metal surfaces? The result is nothing short of electric. So say researchers at Tel Aviv University, who've just completed a study into how the atmosphere's water vapor might just provide a renewable energy source. Soda enthusiasts and other portable radio operators, are you listening? The study from the university's Porter School of the Environment and Earth Sciences, published recently in Nature Scientific Reports, pursued the evolution of electricity in thunderstorms, noting how it morphs from vapor to droplets to ice and eventually spurs formation of the electricity we know as lightning. The researchers used a small low-voltage battery to determine voltage buildup between two discrete metal surfaces and found that when the environmental humidity dropped below 60%, so did the voltage. With humidity able to charge surfaces to as high as 1 volt, researcher Colin Price says he believes this process could eventually help develop batteries that could be recharged using water vapor in the air, provided the humidity is a very tropical 60% or higher. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Robert Broomhead, VK3DN, Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, Graham Kemp, VK4BB, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update from Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
After calming down from a weak solar storm that grazed Earth just a couple days ago, the space weather has really quieted down. But we are seeing a little bit of activity from the new solar cycle, so that's some good news. As we switch to our front side sun, you can see we actually have an old filament that is beginning to rotate off of the sun's west limb. We were hoping this filament would erupt and give us a solar storm, but it looks like it's going to make a trip around the far side. So we're going to see and watch it to see whether or not it erupts on the far side or if it's going to come back around and potentially give us a solar storm in about a month or so. Now, on top of that, we do have a bright region in the north just below that filament. That has been emerging. That is a new cycle active region. We also have a coronal hole that's rotating into the Earth strike zone here over the next couple days, and it could give us some small pockets of fast wind, but probably not enough to bring any aurora. Now, the big story actually has been in the last day or so in the south. We've actually had a new bright region emerge, and this one has become a sunspot. Unfortunately, it's rotating off of the sun's west limb just as quickly as it has emerged, so it has not gotten the designation 2766. We were hoping that was going to happen, but it didn't. So we are going to watch this region as it rotates around the far side to see if it shows up in stereo's view in about a week or two. Now, switching to our stereo view, this is stereo Ontario A, and it's looking at the sun pretty much from the side. You can see there are two bright regions in Stereo's view right now. The one in the south, this is old region 2765, and it doesn't look like it's a sunspot. This was a sunspot on the Earth's facing view, but now it looks like as it's rotated back into Stereo's view a month later, it really has decayed quite a bit. However, this is the first time we have had a solar cycle 25 bright region survive an entire far side passage and come back into Earth view. So that's really exciting news. And then also in the north, we do have yet another small bright region. This is also a new cycle bright region, and it is firing off a few really mini flares. But, you know, it's not going to be enough to bother with comms for space traffic. For more details on this week's space weather, including those new cycle bright regions and how they could affect you, come check out my channel or see me at spaceweatherwoman.com.
There you go. That's it. Spaceweatherwoman.com. That's where you want to go to find out pretty much everything you need to know. Also, check her out on Twitter at Tamitha Scove. That is literally for up to the second information a lot of times. She's always on that thing. It's a great follow. You'll really enjoy it. And she's just a dear. Well, you know that because you watch Ham Nation. Hey, speaking of deers, and not the four-legged kind, although there are a lot of those in Colorado as well, let's see how Field Day went with our own Amanda. How you doing?
Very good. And happy 4th of July, everyone. Hope you have a good time. Yeah. I think it's nice to have something to look forward to. Finally, well, minus Field Day, because Field Day was a blast here in Colorado, I got to say. I'm going to show you a couple things. We did actually have a club get together. We were a 3 Alpha. We were outside camping about 10,000 feet up. Well, close to it. High. And not that kind of high, not the Colorado high. And we had a great group of people come out, and we even had a go-to station. And Victor has a little quick video to show. Oh, there's the sea. Look at that. Amazing. We got a push-up mast and the flag, and we had a nice little Yagi up there to help us out during Field Day. It was and beautiful scenery, beautiful bands, by the way. I know the Midwest, we had 10, 15, 20. We didn't go to 20 meters until around 4:30 in the afternoon. That's how unbelievable it was. We were on 6, 10, and 15 all afternoon long. And in fact, our last 10-meter contact ended about 11 o'clock in the evening at night. I was really proud of this young lady, Faith, and she doesn't have a call sign yet, but I think she's going to get one soon. And she had her stepmom there coaching her K0 LMH. Just take a look at this quick video.
Whiskey 0 Kilo Victor Alpha.
Whiskey 0 Kilo Victor Alpha.
3 Alpha Colorado.
Isn't that so sweet? That's like what makes your Field Day when you get to witness these kiddos coming in. And she didn't make just one contact. She didn't make just two. This girl made 48 that day.
Wow.
I know. She took a few breaks, and it took her both days, but she said, I'm making a goal of making 40 contacts. And she really, really wanted to talk to her grandpa, W0UAW, who was at home, and she wanted to make contact with him. Unfortunately, that never worked out too close, and 40 wasn't open for it during the day, that kind of thing. But she really did have a fantastic time. All in all, I thought Field Day was great, doing the club operation and doing the safe social distancing where people brought their own foods to cook on their own grills, did your own cleanup in your own campers. We really did try to play it safe. Now I know you guys can give me backlash, and all of us, but there were clubs out there. And it's funny, Gordo, I've heard it both ways at even being part of the section management level now, where there was a high disappointment and so many one deltas on the air. And I got to tell you, I loved it. We ran a pile up, and we had station after station after station to work. It just never ended.
Oh, yeah. The one delta's commanding signals because, of course, they were working each other, which we've not been able to do. So I'm delighted that the one deltas were on, and that allowed me to do my testing of the dipole versus the beam, and they both survived. But your beam antenna, wow, that was looking good. Plus, I received your radiogram today from Grant, Kilo Kilo 6, Alpha Hotel Zulu. So thanks for sending me a radiogram.
Absolutely. We got our full 200 points worth. So you send one to your section manager or your section emergency coordinator in your state, and then you send 10 other messages. And I was kept like, who do I send these to? Who do I send these to? I know who would like to receive one. Gordo would. If anybody, he would like to know that we did this lesson, and I think it's important. So one of these days we might have to cover radiograms a little bit more heavily and make sure everyone knows what their importance is and why they still exist. But anyhow, Field Day was fantastic here in Colorado, worked a ton of clubs and a ton of individuals, and it was a blast. So this question is for Bob. Bob, we heard Gordo mention a $2 roll of solder. When was the last time you got a $2 roll of solder?
I go to my plant and I come home with solder. So my name is on the front door, so I guess I can do that. But gosh, I honestly haven't bought solder for a long, long time. And this is going to last me the rest of my life, I bet you. I have two different kinds. That's something else for everybody to know or think about. If you're soldering some, like pins on the bottom of an 807 socket, you use a little heavier stuff. And then you're getting into ICs and so on. You want to use a little thinner stuff. So I always have a couple of different sizes, gauges, whatever. But it all melts, right? You have to learn how to do that. And I think it might be time for me to do a couple of things here. We got to brighten things up around here. And I'm going to get the old smoke and solder really moving. I'm building some things in amongst all the antenna project. But I got a couple of things I'm working on. Simple things, but they're very helpful, as well as the 807 final that's going on. And I definitely need two different kinds of solder and two different kinds of solder. I have a big iron, and I have, of course, the little tip for the doing the ICs. So that's a long-winded answer to it, but it's not simple to have just one kind of solder. So there you go. Sorry I didn't get to work you on field day. I didn't get your you probably sent a message, but not to me. But anyway, I hope you and Jeff had a good time, and it sure sounds like you did.
You know what, Bob? The only thing that kept me from sending you a message is that I didn't want to put your phone number on the message. They said that you have to have a phone number, and I thought, well, maybe I could put the plant phone number on there. So you tell me.
Yeah, probably that. Yeah, that'd be the way to do it. The 3,000 number would work.
Okay, that's good enough because I love sending all of my friends messages. And Bob, not more importantly than just the size of the solder is the size of the tip that you use. So you know you got to have practice in both.
Well, I can help you with that very quickly. Very quickly, you need. You need this guy right here.
You need this guy. Has to have a little guy. Now, you can have various tips on that, but I usually just use that one. When it comes to coax connectors or bigger things, you use one of these guys, and it's got to be a Weller. There are copies of this thing, but you have to have a Weller because they have from... the tips will burn out after a while. They just come apart. So you have to be able to get a good Weller, and away you go. You can buy them on Amazon these days. But got to have a good old iron that does little stuff. Right, Gordo?
That's it. This is my big mama, 550 watts. Wow. It's like a half a kW, but it does PLs quite nicely.
Yeah.
And it's a Weller.
Yeah, we're going to have to do some solder school one of these days, Gordo. You and I can work
out.
You
got it.
The Thank you, Gordo. Thank you, and Bob. Awesome. And we have a Weller, too. I can't grab it right now. I was going to show it off. But let's talk about one other thing that's happening this week. Right after field day, we're all bummed. There's no more HF. Guess what there is? There's the 13 colonies. That's right. Yeah. Especially event of the season.
Yeah.
I love this event. Yeah. Even Don, you even get involved in that, right?
I do. I enjoy doing 13 colonies. It actually slipped my mind, and I was on Facebook, and somebody popped up and spotted one. Oh, by the way, talking about radiograms, I got one from Alpha Charlie 8 November Papa, and in the phone number field, he put no phone, and it got here just fine via the wind link. So, you don't necessarily have to put that phone number in there. They want you to, but it came to me with no problem whatsoever.
Right on.
That's good to know. The traffic manager happened to be at our field day site, and he said, don't do it if you don't have a phone number for the person. Maybe he meant if they weren't a ham and I got confused. But
Yes, 13
colonies is an awesome thing. And Randy, K7AGE, I think he's already worked 11 of them. I've seen several people already getting a sweep on them. So get on the air. It's an awesome group, and I know it really fills up the HF bands, but hey, what else were you going to do? Work them. Put them in the logs in several different ways. CW, FT8, phone, you name it, they're on there, and they're on there 24/7 until July 7th, so you have plenty of time and no excuses to get them, unless band conditions were really, really bad, but hey, Dr. T has given us hope. So the only other thing, I have one quick announcement. WB3 BJU Don, he's always in our chat room, and I always have an enjoyable time talking to him. He just upgraded to Extra on Monday. So congratulations, Don. We're really proud of you.
Yeah.
Now he says that he's ready to take on CW. So congrats. All right. Nets. I know it's going to be rough and it's probably going to be a tight squeeze, but we do have the 40-meter net. Look around 71.92. I haven't watched chat here in a few. We got 14.260 for the 20-meter net. We got D-Star on 14, Charlie DMR on 31.012. So you've got your options there. Everyone get on there. Thank you, Net Controls. You always do such an awesome job. And again, happy Independence Day. Bob, back to you.
All right. Good to see you. Don, nice to see you. We're always separated at the end of things. I hope you're doing good. You're looking good. I love your hat. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. So that pretty much winds up what we got going for you. Got my mask on, and I do wear this mask. I've got three or four of them laying around here, and I get real upset when I go to the grocery store or anything like that. I don't go to the gas station anymore. I think I filled my car up 3 months ago. But the little short ride from here to the grocery store, that's about it. But I really take offense to these people that are not listening. My goodness, they're going to shut this country down. And all because people don't respect each other. Of course, you know, I could be here all night giving you my assertions on people that don't pay attention, and they don't respect that's awful. Please, let's do it. We don't want to lose anybody. Our ham population should grow, not be in the negative. So we'll catch up with you, and I'll be on the air with my new antenna probably at least by next Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll be looking for you on 20 and 6 and 15 and wherever. It's been fun. Thanks a lot, everybody, for being here. And we'll do it again next week. So be good, be safe, and remember, a ham radio is a great hobby anytime. And we've proven that in the past three months. My gracious. 7-3, everybody. Take care and be safe. Bye-bye for now. This is K9EID.
Hey folks, I'm Micah Sargent, host of Hands on iOS right here on the TWiT Network. If you've got iOS devices or watchOS devices or tvOS device, any kind of Apple mobile device, you are going to want to check out Hands on iOS. It is the best way to make the most of those devices. I walk through tips, tricks, and everything in between, plus answer your questions. So be sure to check it out. It's twit.tv/HOI.